Hey, loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard the Sue train. Tapped in and turned on for life. Get clear on who you are, how you're showing up with the world, showing up for the world and for yourself as well. That's going to, clarity is the momentum. Clarity is the gas pedal for all that you desire. So welcome, you guys. I'm going to get to today's segment. It's an inside job, our daily awareness practice, in just a minute. I wanted to remind all of you that we are doing our 2023 Alternative Talk 1150 listener survey. Your voice matters. We need to hear from you. And also, really quick, to the T-Dome Tacoma, good morning. Love you guys. Thank you so much for reaching out. I had to just kind of splat that in there for radio purposes. Annual survey. Let's go back to this. So we've got until April 23rd. Great chance to let us know and the management know how we're doing, what you want to hear more of or not hear. And of course, I want you to vote for Clarity with Sue because, you know, we're juicy and yummy and you guys love us and me, and I want to keep doing a good job for all of you. So remember, your voice does matter. It does count. So just go to the website, which is www.1150kknw, and click on the 2023 listener survey. It's a cute little pink box right at the top, and please take the survey. You will get, you'll actually, let me read this. You'll enter to win two tickets to Victoria Clipper, BC, which I would love to go to Victoria. I love it up there, our Canadian neighbors, and also $100 to Famous Dave's restaurant. So why not take a weekend, have a date, and head up to Victoria on the Victoria Clipper. That sounds amazing. Okay, so going into It's an Inside Job, our daily awareness practice on Clarity with Sue, tapped in and turned on. I'm going to talk today about gratitude, and then I'm going to get to our guests, which I'm super excited about. And quite honestly, this is what was coming up for me today. I mean, it's my daily practice anyways. The moment I get up every morning, I really go into appreciation and gratitude. And I feel into that, like really authentically and genuinely feel into gratitude and appreciation. That sets the tone for the day. It sets my body up. It sets my energy up. I have this sense of peace, this sense of love and calm. And who doesn't want that in their life? And of course, there's going to be segues and wiggles off the line, but you're always going to come back to your ground. You're always going to come back to who you are. And one of my biggest processes, or my, it's not even a process anymore. It's just who I am. It's gratitude and appreciation. So really have massive, massive awareness of your gratitude, massive awareness of your appreciation. Write it down. Really feel if it's authentic and genuine to you. That's really important. And you heard me talk about law of attraction and that type of modality as well. And it's just creating that frequency and that energy with gratitude and appreciation for yourself and other people around you. And the more you hone in on that, the more you show up that way, it's going to come back to you as well. It's going to reflect that in your life. So who doesn't want more love and compassion and care and calm? You know, it's that feeling of everything's working out for me. Everything is working out for me. Everything is working out for me. All right, you guys, that's it. It's an inside job. Our daily awareness practice. I am super, super excited. Well, God, you guys, you know this about me. I get really excited every time I get to do the radio show. Okay, for those of you in radio world, you can't see what I'm holding up, but we, you know, this gal came across my PR sheet, and I was and still am super excited about this conversation because I can't tell you how many times I've been witness to it many times, and I have had conversations with men and women both about narcissism, what that looks like. And today we are going to be talking about Narctionary, you know, like dictionary, but Narctionary. Now let's have a conversation about this journey. We're going to talk to the author, and we're going to talk to Dr. Tracy about her why and what this, you know, how this has shown up in her life, not only personally and professionally, but also, you know, again, you guys, this is new perspective, new thoughts, new ideas. That's the premise of, and the intention for my radio show and the message and everything that I do here. It's to provide content, quality content. My promise to you is that quality content. And this conversation, it's going to be sticky, and it should be, well, I don't want to say it should be sticky, but it is. It's a sticky conversation. Narcissism is very hurtful, and there's a lot of pain that is around that. There's a lot of trauma around that, and I'm super excited to really unpack and have this conversation with Dr. Tracy Kemble. So before we get started and bring her on, let's do the formal introduction. So let's do this. The Narctionary, I'm going to talk to you about the book really quick, and then I'm going to talk to you about Dr. Kemble. I keep wanting to say Kemble. My apologies. Kemble, Dr. Tracy Kemble. She's got 30 years experience in abuse recovery, beginning with her own traumatic journey, gives voice to the crazy-making behaviors that imprison people in the cycle of narcissistic abuse. Now, this is going to be really, really, really important to unpack and have this conversation so we really can understand and bear witness and be aware of where this is showing up in our lives. Her WIN, which is WIN Foundation, and Reclaiming Me program leads them, us, to only cure to narcissistic abuse and trauma, which is self-love, right? I love this. Self-love is a non-negotiable. I would absolutely agree. We're talking about the book that includes over 350 words and terms that are invaluable for self-assessment, self-awareness, self-assessment, looking in, figuring out who you are and how you're showing up in the world and the people around you as well. If it's going to be a non-negotiable, or if it is a negotiable. I think that narcissism is a non-negotiable for me. Okay, without further ado, Dr. Tracy, God, I'm totally dyslexic and just having my issues this morning. I haven't had enough coffee. I meditated. I did a steam. I got all prepared. Welcome, sweetheart.
I'm so excited to be here. You just touched on so many buzzwords that I know that this is going to be a really great exchange and conversation. And
right.
Like a divine meeting. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, we're so meant to be here today.
Oh, I love this. Your why, sweetheart. Let's talk about that. Let's journey back and unpack that a little bit, and then talk about your baby right here.
So I'm going to start off that on a positive note, because I resonate with you that, you know, it's all in the attitude and the way that you approach things. My why is because, and this is for all the listeners out there who are living in pain, who you've built an altar to your pain, that I had reached a point in my life where I was hoarding my negative experiences.
I love that.
Instead of using them to learn the lesson that I originally signed up for and sharing that healing to the world so people behind me don't suffer. That's my why.
Wow.
How I got here.
Wow. My body's all tingly. I mean, there's such a beautiful conversation that here, and I know that the audience is super excited. I can feel it. And so thank you. Again, I know before the show, I said, thank you for stepping in the rink, but really stepping in the rink and creating this beautiful little book. And then what, 30 years that you've been working in trauma? Is that right?
30 years I've been working in it, but yeah, I probably have a lifetime PhD in it. So many people.
I'm with you, sister.
Right? And so many people ask me, you know, how did you get into the world of narcissism? And the best way to say it is, I love my father. I have as good a relationship as you can. My father has narcissism. And so I was exposed to it at such a young age that the personality traits of narcissism were normalized to me.
And it was your norm, right?
It was my norm. It was my base level.
Yeah.
You know, all people switch lanes on you without explanation in the last minute and splatter you on your face. All people don't leave any air in the room for you to breathe. Isn't this normal? And I remember at a certain point in my life that the way that I describe it is I would have my hand, like the vision that I get is either a stovetop or an electric stovetop, that I would have my hand on it. And people would look at me and they'd be like, oh my God, doesn't that hurt? And I would say, yeah. And they'll say, don't you want to remove it? And what would go through my head is, can I?
Yes.
I didn't know I had the power or the permission to change my life.
I want to cry. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a societal norm? We don't realize that we have a big fat permission slip that says, oh my God, I can change.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that. And because I didn't know, we only know what we know and we don't know what we don't know. Yep. And so I didn't know a normal, healthy love outside of this dynamic. So what happened is that I would continue to make similar choices to the point that I was downgrading, you know, that my base level was here. And so when somebody would mistreat me or abuse me more, where it would put other people's hands on fire, I had built up a callus and a tolerance to it. And I said, okay, well, you know, normal is abandoning love. And so abusive love, I think that that's a bit worse. And so I just had reached boiling points of my life where I was just suffering. I was just suffering. And I just figured out that there had to be a better way. And that journey began, it's interesting because it began originally 30 years ago when I came out of an abusive relationship, like a hardcore abusive relationship where I wrote a book called The Courage to Say No More. And then fast forward, finding myself in other situations and ultimately circling back to my relationship with my father. Wow, this thing has a name and it's called narcissism. And it's not normal land.
And somewhere, somehow he learned that, right?
Yes.
He had
a mother and a father who were both narcissistic. And I'm sure they had abandoning parents. And I'm sure on and on and on and on. But, you know,
The buck stops here, sister. Yeah, look at this. To. It's mm-hmm. done. Wow. Ah. Narcissism. You know, I'm gonna go into a little bit of a conversation about not being aware that you're not aware or having that conversation that you think that is your norm. And my body starts reacting when I start having this conversation because I too feel that I was also raised by a narcissistic, but it was based on her trauma. And I also want to say, you know, society, it seems like there's this norm that says it's only men that are narcissistic, and that's just not the case. And it's men, it's women, it's not at all. It's men and women. And I think that there is in junior high and high school, there's an aspect you have to be narcissistic in this sense just to protect yourself, right? But that's a whole nother container in conversation. But where I'm going with this is it's men and women, right? And for the longest time, I thought, Dr. Tracy, when that would come at me, it was my doing, my fault, right? You're shaking your head. For those on the radio where she's shaking her head, yes. Can we have that conversation? Because this is happening to me right now. And I'm unpacking all of the old emotions that I would have done and shown up as. And now because of my true authentic self-love, where I'm standing now, going to what you were talking about in your book, that self-love and the boundaries, I can look at that and go, holy shiitake, no, this is not okay for me. And you're breaking a pattern, a habituation, and they don't like it.
Which causes them to rebel more.
Right? Oh,
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a vicious cycle. But I want to talk to those, you know, those that are in pain, and then those that are in pain with now the new awareness that they do have the permission slip and they are gaining those tools, right? Including your book, right? Because it does start with awareness.
Well, okay. The first step to all recovery is awareness. That's why I love the name of your show. And I'm like, oh, this is so good, because I'm so committed that, you know, awareness is the first step to healing. It's that aha moment. It's that, oh my gosh, can I remove my hand off the fire pit? You know, and awareness is everything. And you had mentioned something just a few seconds ago where you said, you know, it can be women, it can be men. Yes, it could be your boss. It could be your parent. It could be your kid. It could be the person that you work with. It could be your best friend that all of a sudden you say, I'm like, oh my gosh, this isn't an authentic friendship. You know, this is based in codependence and fuel.
And I would also like to say too, based on their fear, their insecurity, their traumas, right? Not making it right or wrong. However,
yeah,
there's an empathy to that.
Yeah. And what we can dip into in a bit is what is narcissism. And narcissism, though it comes across very grandiose and arrogant, it's actually a person that is dealing with identity problems, and they're weak and they're fragile. And so it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, how the wizard was this meek person behind the all the contraptions. Well, that's what narcissism is. It's a very broken person behind, and they're just doing all these shenanigans to make themselves superior, to protect their fragileness.
Yeah. And I really love this conversation, because it took me a while to swing back around. And you know, that awareness is also ownership, accountability, and responsibility, right? And that can be scary as shiitake, right? You're like, oh, and then there's this whole, I allowed that to happen. Who am I? Why did I allow that? And then there's forgiveness, right? It's this whole unraveling and unpacking. And yes, you guys, you're absolutely in a beautiful space right now. And if you happen to be hearing and listening to our conversation, this is your awareness. This is your ticket, right? Ticket to show up for yourself, ticket to show up for self-love. I love what you say to Momsy, who taught me how to slay ghosts. There's a big metaphor right there, isn't there?
Absolutely, there it is. That, so the way that this book came about is I've been in the recovery industry for a long time, and there was a newbie, and I happened to know this person well, and they called me, and of course the perfect life that was there, of course I could read it, you know, because of my years of being able to look at situations and say, woof, that person's a narcissist. And one day her world crashes down, and she's, you know, in emotional shock, and she's like, what is this? And she's starting to talk, and she'd say, and blah, 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 they do that. And I said, yeah, that's called a faux apology. What's a faux apology? It's a fake apology from a narcissist. and then when they talked about it, I got so confused, because they, blah, 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 blah. I said, yeah, that's called a word salad. What's a word salad? A word salad is when the narcissist will toss so many words into a conversation that you don't know even what's being said anymore. And, you know, and why did I behave this way? Yeah, that's a pink cloud syndrome. Well, what's a pink cloud syndrome? You know, and then I ended it with one of my favorite words in the book, which is, you know, poop in your soup. What's poop in your soup? Poop in your soup is what narcissism is. That no matter how much poop in your soup is never okay. It's just like narcissists.
Ew, no. Ever. I love that analogy. Guys, if you take anything away, appreciation, love, gratitude, and poop in your soup. No soup for you.
No people soup for you.
No.
So I, she said, oh my gosh, you should write a book that has all these words for we newbies, so that we could understand what we're dealing with. Yeah. Because jumping into recovery is just, you know, it's going deep. And so I literally kept something on my phone for years and years and years. Yes. And I opened it up, and one day just started cataloging. I had it alphabetized already. So I just started cataloging it and going deeper and deeper. And the end result of that, my years of recovery and unfolding this thing that this ghost that I lived with for so long, it got a name. And as my mom would always tell me when I was young, she'd say, you know, when you have an ache or a pain, and it has no name. It's like fighting ghosts that you can't grab a hold of it and pull it into your life and mend it and heal it. Or if it's not good for you, push it out of your life. But when it has a name, you can grab a hold of that and bring it into your life and mend it and heal it and nurture it. Or if it doesn't best serve you, like narcissistic abuse, you have the power. What? Oh, I have the power to push it and permission to push it out of my life and never suffer from it again.
Ah, that is so important for those that are sitting in it, just becoming aware, just realizing that it was happening or they were showing up that way to make the changes. I'm going to go to the conversation of being a receiver of that and to the pain that is caused, but also to going to the conversation of recovery. First, it's the awareness and even knowing that it's going on, and then the forgiveness and having the tools, which are really important to me, the language and the tools, like you were talking about, Doc, that you have to have the language and the isms. It's like the Tracy isms, right? I know it's called Narctionary, but there's so many. I mean, of course I would go to this page. I'm on page 69. It's diminished identity. Come on. How many times I can speak for myself, and I know that the audience, when we've talked about this, you know, it's page 69, diminished identity, an aftermath of narcissistic abuse where the victim loses their clarity and lack of core identity. If you have been living your life without your core identity, right? For years, I didn't, you know, and because you start on a path that you were raised with a narcissistic mentality and you think that's your norm. So you think that that's your core identity, right? And then you're like you were just saying earlier, oh, I have my hand on the stove. I'm going to keep it there. Oh, that's not your norm. Oh, wait, I can take it off the burner.
Yeah. I had a mantra for years that it said, I am more powerful than I remember. I'm more powerful than I remember. I am more powerful than I remember. Well, you know, the diminished identity is a super important one to tap into because, you know, in general, if you research women, there are reports that come out that say up to 70% of women reach a point where they're not clear on their visibility. And a lot of these are women who have not come through trauma. You add trauma to that. You add specifically narcissistic abuse trauma to that. And when I went in for therapy years ago, when narcissism didn't have a name, and I sat in front of the therapist, and as a therapist, why are you here? You know, so you try to put a name to something that you don't know. And I looked at the therapist and I said, because I feel invisible. And that my brain is made of mush. And that's the only diagnosis I could give to somebody who was supposed to help me. Fast forward, the gaslighting that I had been exposed to, of course, my brain was mush. There were no boundaries of common sense, of dignity, of self-respect, of self-awareness, of other respect going on in my belief system and my thought process. And
as you think you're crazy based on somebody else's. Yeah.
And because of what happens within a narcissistic relationship is that you are not allowed to have your own identity in a narcissistic relationship. You get punished to have your own identity. So as children, if we're raised in it from our sense of go, that what happens is we learn out of survival. So all of you who might be feeling a little guilty right now, let me tell you, my loves, it was survival that you learn to adapt and go along out of sheer survival. I always say that the job of a child is to be a child, not to fight for their self-identity, not to question who they are. Parents are supposed to teach us, and narcissists are not good teachers, they're good dictators, right? And we don't get that. And so what happens in a narcissistic dynamic is that we are actually punished for having our own identity. Think about it. Anytime the narcissist would say something, you would say, well, you know what? I don't really agree with that. Or I think this way, there was a punishment. And the punishment could be a withdrawal of love. It could be a rage. It could be a withdrawal of things. You know, they will punish you with money. They will do whatever they can to send that message to you. How dare you take up space and take away my space in the room? Because in narcissism, especially with all narcissists, believe that the people closest to them are not individual people. They are a reflection of who they are. And so if you say something that's contradictory to them, they have to punish you, because they don't say, oh, that's a separate individual person with separate journeys, separate thoughts, separate emotions, separate opinions, separate beliefs. They say, they see it as a personal reflection of themselves. It's ugly. And because they already feel ugly on the inside, they have to destroy that which is causing that conflict. And when that thing to destroy comes in a human form, like you, like me, that's where the trauma sets in.
I'm sitting in it, Doc. I'm sitting in it.
And me too. I'm re-sitting in it too.
Shiitake. Yeah, this is such a much needed, powerful conversation. And, you know, there's people out there, I can feel it. Well, you know, it's scary. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that I've done that. I don't want to hear that I've shown up that way. I fully admit that I have. Absolutely. And yes, was it from survival? And yes, was it part of my norm for years because that's what I was taught? Absolutely. However, it's now taking my power back, like you were saying, you know, take your power back. It's the awareness and having the new, it's the 3 R's: reclaiming, redesigning, recreating who you are and how you authentically and genuinely want to show up in this world based on who you are, not on anybody else. And I think that's really important. And that's why I do this radio show too, is to provide this type of content and information so they understand.
Yeah. My recovery program is actually called Reclaiming Me. And it's believe it or not, it takes place every week, two time zones within the domestic US. And it's a 1 year journey, not about narcissism. It's about reclaiming. It's about building, perhaps for the first time, your self love base. And if I can just jump into that really quickly.
You know what? Let's do this, love. Let's do this. I'm going to tease the audience. We got a quick commercial break. So when you come back, we're going to talk about that. If you are joining us on YouTube, we're still going to be live on YouTube. I totally forgot I had to take a commercial break. I was like, yes, I want more. So Radio World, we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you want, we're going to noodle a little bit over on YouTube, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Sue here, and we are talking about the Narctionary. We'll be right back, you guys. Hey guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. I have got a 5-day mini event coming up in April. I would really encourage you guys to join us. It's going to be so powerful. Just starting with the first day, you are going to have a massive change in perspective. It's called Release Your Small T Trauma Blocks. We're going to talk about the nervous system, those crimps and those wires. We're also going to talk about the three phases of transformation, how your personality creates your personal reality. We're also going to talk about habits and some action steps and changing all that. We're going to have a Q&A, and we're going to also really dial in about how to sustain these changes and to keep you tapped in, to keep you in a beautiful, juicy life and lifestyle. Go to claritywithsue.com and let's do the Release Your Small T Trauma Blocks together. Go to the website, claritywithsue.com. That's claritywithsue.com.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Hi guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. 15 years in radio, solid reputation, and conscious collaboration mindset. I am looking for an aligned sponsorship and partnership. This is conscious collaboration within the mind, body, spirit, organics, and fitness arena. Let's talk about spreading your message and your product to the masses. Email me at sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Time is funny. Sometimes it seems fast and other times slow. When it comes to time slots remaining on Alternative Talk 1150, time is running out. In fact, there are just a few primetime slots available. So if you want to host your own radio program, the time to call 425-653-1150 is right now. Nope, no time for excuses. Dial 425-653-1150 to find out how affordable it can be to host a radio show. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Hey guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue. I have got a question for you. Does turnover happen in your company? Is morale really low because of what's happening in our economy and in the world? Are you experiencing small T traumas within your organization that's affecting your bottom line, that's affecting massive turnover? Well, what we do know that low morale causes employees to have a loss of interest. It's like 65% of employees do not feel appreciated. So how about this? How about a solution? In 90 minutes, go from checked out to tapped in. Set your team apart from others and create a culture to be proud of. Help your team find that purpose again. That's what I do. I'm going to help you do that. In 90 minutes, go from checked out to tapped in. Send me an email, sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
It. We were really going deep on this conversation on YouTube. Okay, welcome back, you guys. Go to www.clarityWithSue.com and you can get the newsletter and get a copy of the show. All right, please continue your thought. I'm so sorry.
No way. Yeah. We're talking about the unknown ways that we fuel source the narcissist. It's so destructive. As I'm speaking in male-female terms right now. So as women, because we cry easier, and I would reach a point that the abuse would happen. I was confused. I thought it was my fault because they would blame shift. And then I would end up crying and slipping into what I call narcissistic despair, and going into the depression. You know, I would get knocked down and it would normally take me like a week to come back after an episode and things of that nature. Well, one day I got this visual that when I would break down and cry in front of the narcissist, I was expecting this person to have a normal response, which would be like, oh my God, I hurt the person I love. What am I doing to traumatize? Look what I'm doing to this other person. I'm not talking about somebody who manipulates with tears. I'm talking about those of us who get kicked in the stomach and are gasping for air after a narcissistic attack. Okay, so let me just put it in that classification. So I'm expecting the person who claimed that they love me to fix what they broke, because that's what we do when we accidentally hurt somebody. But you know what our tears do to a narcissist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Feeding the vein, baby. Feeding it.
That every time we shed a tear, they get high. And when I had that realization, I picked myself up off the floor. I put my shoulders back and I said, I will never except for tears of recovery, healthy tears of grieving, cry over this person again. Never. And I stopped becoming a fuel source through my tears.
Audience, if you missed that, we were talking about the narcissism and having the awareness, like Dr. Tracy was talking about, having that awareness within yourself that you have just had a narcissistic attack and you are crying, and you're crying in front of the narcissist. And what that's doing to the narcissist is putting it right into the veins. It's fueling them. And it's a really solid, good visual for you to keep, you know, like in your pocket, right? You're fueling the narcissist. So when you have those tears, you know, I mean, there's authentic tears. Would you suggest they just pick up, go away, and go do their tears somewhere else to release all of that? And not to give the narcissists the gas. When we were, and you said yes, you were nodding your head yes for the folks in radio world. And I want to go to the conversation what we were doing before we went to commercial break. We were going to go into recovery. But during the break, when we were live on YouTube, we were talking about the spectrum. There's different spectrums of narcissism. And then we had talked about intentional or unconscious during the break. So if you guys missed that, you guys can go back, but we're going to tap into a little bit of that right now. I'm trying to speak English.
I know, because it's like,
I'm just so excited. I'm like, feed me more. Yes.
So the thing about narcissism that's so confusing is that, first off, you have to realize that we're dealing with a diagnosis that's not very old. We're talking about 5-7 years old that people are really starting to understand narcissistic abuse and narcissistic abuse trauma. So those of you who are like, oh my gosh, I've been in this for 20 years. What's wrong with me? I've been to so many therapists. I've been to church and prayed. I've done this, that, and the other. I've, you know, put my mantras on the wall and I'm still repeating the same cycle. You're dealing with a new diagnosis. So don't beat yourself up on that, but definitely go get help, but don't beat yourself up.
Yes.
So a lot of people remain stuck in this cycle because it didn't have a name. So one of the things that we now know about narcissism is that narcissism is a spectrum disorder. And what that means is that it goes from here to here, okay? And it's not like pregnancy where you either are or you're not.
Yeah, you are or you're not.
With narcissism, we all need what's called healthy narcissism. And that is the narcissism that sits right here in front of us. And it's the difference between self-love and being a self-lover. Okay. Narcissists are self-lovers, where to heal, we need to have that sense of self-love. And that sense of self-love is the one that keeps the bad out and lets the good in. It's those healthy boundaries that we put up that we have that sense of self-value. Without the sense of narcissism, you know, thinking of oneself, that we can't hold those boundaries. As it goes on up the scale, it then merges into something that is called narcissistic characteristics. And narcissistic characteristics are just very difficult people. That they are people who, when you're with them, you get exhausted, and when you're away from them, you're just like so. And these are people who, they don't have narcissism, but they have been around it enough that they're just very difficult, complicated people. As it continues to go, and it doesn't mean that there's trauma that take place. So there's a lot of trauma that takes place there. Why? Because no matter how much poop is in your soup, poop in your soup is never okay. All right. As it goes on up the scale, it then goes into something called narcissistic personality disorder. And this is diagnosed by a professional. And this is actually a personality disorder. These are very complicated people that if you spend time with them, you will eventually go crazy. As it continues to go on up the scale, it then goes into antisocial personality disorder, i.e. sociopath, psychopath. And these are dangerous people that you absolutely need to stay away from. And these are the ones, as well as those with narcissistic personality disorder, that intentionally set out to find fuel sources, and they're doing it at a conscious level, not a subconscious level. Now, here's the interesting thing, and this was my big shift when it came to recovery. I spent years of my life blaming myself, because that's what the narcissist does, and not understanding I was dealing with narcissism and narcissistic personality disorder, blah, blah, blah. And one day I got a piece of information that on this spectrum, the opposite side of narcissism is something called self-love deficiency disorder. And one day I had an epiphanic moment where I said, what if I got my eyes off of trying to figure out narcissism and just healed my self-love base? And that was the game changer for my recovery. And so I just began to understand, you know, I thought, if narcissism in here and self-love deficiency disorder is here, and what I have found is that on a vibrational level, as I began to heal my self-love foundation, my vibration level in life raised. And guess what happened? It was impossible for the two to meet. And at this day and age, when I come across narcissism, because I chose to keep a relationship with my father, I'm so grounded in my self-love base that those shenanigans and all the things they do, I just be like, oopsie. It doesn't mean it doesn't exhaust me. It doesn't mean that I don't go like, oh, God, man. But what I say from this side is, I'm so glad I'm not aligned with that anymore. I am so glad that not every person coming into my life am I attracting that same energetic value. I am so grateful that I have an exit plan. I'm so grateful to have the awareness that what this person is doing is gaslighting, is trying to extract fuel. So now I need to hold on to my own self-love and not fuel them. Not fuel them. Because if you love a narcissist, like if you really say, you know, but I really, 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 really love this person, I have two things. First off, if you really love this person, commit to not fueling them, because when you fuel them, they remain ill, emotionally ill. Number one. Number two, if you consider that love, is that enough love to carry you through a lifetime? Because narcissistic love is a very lonely, empty love.
Emotional. Emotional. So many things came up for me there. With this conversation, unpacking the narcissist, and again, Dr. Therese, thank you so much. When you come into contact where you can energetically, emotionally, psychologically tell this person has massive trauma based from the narcissistic abuse, how do you, as the person that's in recovery, recovered, I don't think you're ever recovered, you're constantly sifting through that scenario, right? And because there's all kinds of things that come up, right? So how do you, as the individual that witnesses this in the other person, one, you stand your ground in your self-love and be that example. But as an empath, for example, or somebody who wants to be compassionate, so there's a difference between empathic and compassion. You can share compassion without globbing on to their emotions and feelings, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In my recovery program, it's a 6-part module recovery program. And there's two things I want to touch on. I mean, it starts out with, you know, the very first module is, what is this? You know? What happened to me? And that's all I've identified, you know, the 12 most common shenanigans or abuses that the narcissist does. And then I do what is called love in the narcissist, and this is breaking the addictive cycle emotionally, physically, spiritually, that we become entangled as this whole empath. So there's an important point to make. A narcissistic relationship can only stand with two personalities, a narcissist plus a narcissist. Okay, that's not me. And a narcissist and a self-deprecate, i.e. a wounded empath. And so the reason that we stay is because we are the same sides of an opposite of the coin, that they are wounded from trauma and loss. And that doesn't mean you're supposed to go in there and heal them, because you can't. Everybody has to do their own work. That out there really loud. They're one side of the coin, and our abandonment issues and our abandoned trauma and our deep feelings is the other side of trauma. But the next, the two other ones that I wanted to touch on regarding this this conversation is the first is that there's a very specific path to healing in narcissistic trauma. One of my modules is the narcissist and the empath, and it's specifically how the wounded empath is the greatest trauma victim in a narcissistic relationship. They seek out wounded empaths to get fuel because we are so giving. The second thing is that when it comes to recovery, many, and it happened to me, probably happened to you, many therapists will tell the narcissistic abuse trauma victim that they have PTSD. So they begin to treat us for PTSD. But the truth of the matter is that we don't have PTSD. We have something called CPTSD. And there is a very specific way that you have to heal CPTSD versus PTSD. And that specifically, I dive into that. And one of the words that you mentioned earlier, where, you know, where do we begin, is it is so important to bear witness. It is so important to look at that person, because this person's been gaslit. They have been told that their truth is not true. Not one time, 10,000.
Over and over and over again. Just like you said at the top of the hour, my brain, it's a fog. I can't trust myself, right? Yeah. I can't tell how many conversations I've had about that. I cannot trust myself because I don't know what's, I can't get clear.
That's CPTSD. So the difference between CPTSD, PTSD, and CPTSD is that, okay, so for example, I have a family friend of ours who, she was at the Las Vegas shootings, and she's suffering from very bad PTSD right now. And what happens is that when she's in having an episode, she's able to say, I'm having feelings of anxiety and depression because on this day, at this time, gunshots were shot at me, and now I will not go to Las Vegas because being in Las Vegas with the sights is a very specific way to heal. It could be a car accident, it could be any type of a exact trauma. With narcissism, because the majority of narcissists don't beat up. I mean, every person who abuses a man or a woman is a narcissist. Okay, that's the foundation of being an abusive person. But not all narcissistic abusive relationships are physically violent. So we take a lot of heart punches and soul stabbings. And so the trauma wounds are there. But if you ask somebody who has been through narcissistic trauma and to say, well, what exactly did they gaslight you in? And you would say, and maybe you'll remember one incident, but won't, because there's something called abuse amnesia. And abuse amnesia, there's two sides of that. There's a narcissist view of it. We're like, that never happened.
Oh yeah. That, give me an example.
Yeah. And because of, if you think about a car accident, or any type of a trauma, and people say, the last thing I remember was hearing this, and then I woke up 3 days later, right? Our body shuts down to protect us. So can you imagine that we have not been in a car accident? We have been hit by a Mack truck, but we can't remember the screeching tires. We can't remember that. And then that makes us feel even crazier, because we're thinking, am I crazy? I can't pinpoint what happened to me, but all I know is it did. I remember crying. I remember being out of it in a haze in a daze for a week to 10 days. And so we start to feel crazy. So yeah. One of the most important parts of walking somebody out of narcissistic abuse trauma is just to bear witness, to say, I believe you. I believe you. I know that this happened. It's real. What you experienced is real. That gaslighting is real. Somebody is trying to distort your truth. And memo from Self Love Normaland, your truth is your truth, and you don't need anybody's validation or support. If it hurts, it hurts. Period. And the conversation needs to be over, and stop explaining your hurt to other people.
Okay. Well, I got to get a link to your, what is it? The recovery link. I want it like now. I want to just pipe it in. I'm so serious. I'm like, you're just fueling me with this conversation, and there's so much, and fueling me in an essence of validation that I am not nuts. I haven't been nuts, right? And I'm speaking not only for myself, I can feel so many other people going, ah, that aha moment, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's, you know, when I described the recovery program through the Reclaiming Me program, when I had Reclaiming Me, it's on my drtracy.tv website, and everybody can be a guest the first time just to come out and see how our method of recovery is. And it's only $10 a class because I don't hoard my healing anymore.
don't hoard your healing, and no more poop in your soup.
Exactly. And that's how we heal around here, you know. But what I get very clear downloads, and one time in my prayer meditation time, all of a sudden I got this vision of a boardwalk, and I'm like, what am I looking at? And the download, I call it from the great divine, that the download was, that's what self-love looks like. And if you think about a boardwalk is made up of several planks, and it's the combination and the side-by-side anchoring of these planks that make that steely foundation. So I realized the formula, and I'm such a formula person because that mushy brain, I need formulas, you know? I'm an empath. I can live, you know, I'm an Aquarian empath. I can live, you know, in different universes all at once.
Yes, yes.
Free. Man, I need those really clear, you know, this is how I build my recipe. So I realized that if we have just, you know, people don't understand self-love. So they have this very limited definition of self-love. And if we have one plank, we're going to walk through life like we're on a tightrope. But if we have many planks side by side by side, we can build a steely foundation of self-love under our emotional feet, and we can start to dance and run through life. So every week, that's all we do. We take a pain of narcissism. We take where the person who's suffering from self-love deficiency disorder, we give a name to that plank, and we say, okay, reciprocity. Reciprocity is a sign of self-love, which means that as I donate into you, you donate back to me. This is the cycle of love and life. And if you're
even exchange of energy, that's what I call even exchange of energy in every aspect, personal and business.
Every aspect.
Yes, sister. Oh, God, this is such a good conversation.
One plank of self-love is the right to your first voice. Mm-hmm. One plank of self-love is the right to have a home base. One plank of self-love is the right to have non-negotiables. One plank of self-love are deal breakers. I didn't know that in love we could have deal breakers. That, you know, that I know that I committed to you in marriage and in time, and you future faked me, or you got me to buy into your definition of future, then you flipped everything on me. That's a deal breaker. I just had to have a deal breaker with somebody that's been in my life for 15 years. And I was really proud of myself because normally, you know, I call myself, you know, like all of us, but you know how cell phones always have the upgrade, like, you know, 2.3, 2.4, 14.1, like the person that they met was Tracy, you know, 2.1. And now I am Tracy 2.25. And so they kept trying to treat me like Tracy 2.2 or 2.3.
Yes.
Live here anymore. And earlier, I want to give a recovery tool really quickly, because you said something that was so right on, is that when you're in this relationship and you're on your recovery journey and you find yourself behaving in old ways, in the recovery program is we give tools every week. We like, if you're going to teach me to turn my frown upside down, you better teach me how and what I need to do.
Real time, real life, practical tools.
Exactly.
Hands down.
If you are somebody who you're on your journey to recovery, and yet you still find yourself on occasion, or even those few epiphanic moments when you say, wait a minute, that the way that I responded, I am Sally 2.3 right now, and they're treating me like Sally 2.1. There's a tool that's called the do-over. And the do-over is when you're away from the incident and you responded in a way that you weren't, that is not the new definition of who you are. And you go back to that person, even if it's in your mind's eye, and you relive that situation. You say, wait a minute, the way that I responded is the old me. This is who I am, and this is what I actually meant to say, and this is how I mean to handle it. And you have the opportunity to do it to that person, or if you can't do it to that person, you go back in your subconscious, because your subconscious doesn't know the difference between truth and reality, and you teach your subconscious, we are a new person.
New neural pathway, babe.
Exactly. We no longer respond that way. We are no longer that person. And that little step right there will just be like the marionette. We're all like, oh my goodness.
I love this. That's so true. Cause I've witnessed that in myself going, who, babe, you're not that. And I don't go down the shame hole anymore. In my head, I mean, granted, there's sometimes I wiggle a little bit, but in my head, I'm like, Goob, you silly girl. I love you. That's not you anymore. You know, and I'm loving her through. I'm going, what, who was that? That's not you anymore. Change that up. Yeah.
And sometimes we just default into it because
of course
neuropaths are there. And also we go like, ew, don't be that person anymore. Okay, then don't.
Then don't.
You have permission not to, and you have the power not to. Whenever you
now.